Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm just excited about this message. It's funny, you know, I was ready last week for it. And then the more I looked it over, more I realized I bit off more than I could chew. So we're probably not going to get through all the subjects today. But today's message is signs and wonders, miracles and gifts. Amen. All at God's by God's will, you know. And, you know, the Lord proves, he bears witness of his word by manifesting signs and wonders, miracles and gifts, doesn't he? And we're going to talk about that today. Because if you remember, Jesus would preach and speak. And as he spoke, then all of a sudden the sick and everyone would come towards him. And he would just pray for them and they were healed. But he first and foremost gave them the gospel, really. And because the gospel is what sets souls free, right? It's, you know, we are born into sin, and as a result, we are in bondage to our old nature and our sin nature, but the Lord sets us free, and that's the greatest miracle of all. So when the Lord does these signs and wonders and miracles and gifts, these things are really to prove a bigger principle, that the Lord Jesus sets us free of sin and forgives our sins, like we were singing about. Those songs were tremendous for this. You know, he saved me, you know? And he doesn't look upon me based on my duplicity and double-mindedness. He sees me like himself, you know? He sees me. That's how he, like, perceives you. He loves you that much that he chooses to forgive all of our sins and iniquity. So that's the greatest miracle of all. So the Lord doing these signs and wonders and miracles and gifts are things to really prove a bigger truth, isn't it? So let's pray, and we're going to dive in. And I know the Lord's going to speak to you because, man, the Word always speaks, doesn't he? So, Lord, thank you today for your brilliant Word. And Lord, we ask you to transform our minds and hearts to be in line with yours. And Lord, when we walk out of here, we want to have perception that sees the signs and the wonders that you're putting in front of us so we can step in the right direction and go through the open doors, not keep banging on the closed doors, Lord. And we can really live that abundant life like you promised us. So, Lord, we just pray that today you would speak boldly through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's dive right in. We're only looking at four verses. And so let's dive right in. If you can recall, this is Hebrews. And we know the Holy Spirit wrote this through an unknown author. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so let's dive in. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So let's just stop there for a second, because the Lord's telling us that we need to be careful. In fact, the New Living Translation says, listen very carefully, pay more closer attention. My version, New King James Version, says, take heed. And what it's saying is be very careful not to forget what you've heard. Now, if you can recall, this book was written, by the time Hebrews was written, probably at least two, perhaps three gospels were already written, okay? Many of the letters of Paul were already written and dispersed to the churches. But back then, you know, a scribe was hard to find, and a scribe that would sit down and rewrite an entire letter of Paul, they weren't widely duplicated, right? It was not like, it was tedious, and it was methodical, and it had to be accurate, right? So even though there was already much of the New Testament written already when Hebrews was written, it's not like everybody had a copy of it, right? You had to listen carefully. and listen clearly and remember what you've heard. Could you imagine that today? We're bombarded with so many things. I can't remember what Jill tells me. Oh, now I'm in trouble. No, it's hard to remember what you've been told, right? Just a minute ago, right? Because it's like, there's so much pouring in, right? But back then, people were diligent because you didn't have a copy of what was being read, okay? And you might have a piece of it, a little scroll, a phylactery tied to your arm or your head or your doorpost or something. But you didn't have an entire book of Isaiah, right? So you had to listen and you had to remember. Now, thank God nowadays, and I often, by the way, tell people if they have difficulty in reading, and we've had many people that grew up with dyslexia or have a condition that they just can't read, and I'm like, well, then you have to be listening. Daily Audio Bible, which is a resource that we actually have right on our website. You can click on there and download it. Listen to the Bible. If you can't read it, listen. If you're driving this to work in the morning and you just don't think you have time to read, at least be listening, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans 10. So it's okay to be receiving it one way or another. Now, I personally love listening and reading. I love reading it, okay? And, you know, you can get into vast reading projects where I'm going to read through the Bible in 1 year, okay? And that's a volume read. But then you could also just break it down and I'm just going to study these two verses today and nail them and follow every cross reference and really absorb it. But the bottom line is we need to be soaking in the word, right? And so the Lord's telling us, be very careful not to forget what you hear, but also what you read. Now, you know what's interesting though? With all the technology we have, all the electronic devices that you can pull up a book of the Bible anywhere, okay? Thank God for that. And you can pick up various versions of the Bible. You know, still, faith comes by hearing. Because how many people are going to pick up a Bible not believing and suddenly read and believe? They need to hear it first, don't they? And who do they hear it from? Us, right? We are the Lord's anointed to bring his message to the world, right? So still, after all these years, still hearing is still typically the way people come to faith, by hearing, but then by seeing signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts, evidence that what they're hearing is true. Amen? And so we're being told to be very careful and not to forget. So let's read on. Verse 2, for if the words spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Let's just stop there for a second. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about how the Lord used angels throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament to bring a message. In fact, that's what angel means. Angelos means a messenger, right? So he sent these celestial creatures, these non-human spiritual beings, to people to give them messages. He also, of course, used the prophets. And as he gave these messages, if people didn't heed the word that they heard from the Lord through an angel or a prophet, what would happen? They would receive the just reward. Now, reward doesn't mean a prize in this case. It means a compensation. It means you're getting what you deserve. You didn't listen, and now you're going to pay the consequences. And we see that throughout Israel's history. In fact, Numbers has so many of those stories. I love Numbers. If you haven't been coming out on Wednesday nights, come on out. Numbers has so many amazing narratives on what took place in Israel's history. I love Numbers, but... And by the way, Danny did an amazing job this past Wednesday night talking about the Nazirite spirit. And it was phenomenal. So in number 6. But so whenever the Israelites did not heed the word of God, they paid a consequence. Do you know when Israel left Egypt, okay? No one fell by disease, sickness, or death. There's no record of death in Israel as they left Egypt through the Red Sea. As they approached the Mount Sinai, we know that the word was given. It was the law that was given. And the first four commandments, do you remember what they are? I am the Lord your God. You should have no other God but me. The next is, do not carve anything. Do not make an idol that's supposed to replicate me. And then the third commandment is, don't take my name in vain. And then the fourth is, keep the Sabbath. So they heard the word spoken over the amplification of heaven. They heard the word themselves. In fact, it made them tremble and be fearful, right? And then Moses stayed up there getting more instructions from God for 40 days and 40 nights. So as Israel is down at the base of the mountain, they look up and they see this mountain on fire, okay? And they're looking, look, whatever happened to this guy Moses? He led us out. He can't still be living through that, right? I mean, it was an inferno. So make us a God that we can follow. So one after another, they broke all four of those commandments. Because the first thing they did was said to Aaron, make us a God who we can follow, okay? So you shall have no other God but me. They broke the first commandment, okay? The next, Aaron says, all right, bring me your golden earrings because I'm going to melt them down and make a carved image. Number two, strike two, right? Okay, then they said, okay, behold your God who led you out of Egypt. Strike three, okay? Because now they're taking the Lord's name in vain by applying it to this piece of gold that they just crafted. So they're taking the Lord's name in vain. And then the fourth strike is the Sabbath. This is the day of rest that you are to set apart between me and you. And what did they say? Once that golden calf was made, they said, tomorrow we're going to have a Sabbath for this new God of ours. So they broke the Sabbath. All four commandments broken. And with that, of course, 3,000 people died, okay? So every time they disobeyed or neglected what God said, they received their just rewards, right? And that's a story throughout the Old Testament. Every time in fact, Numbers has about six of them, you know, where death occurred because of their rejection of God's word. And so he's warning us. Look, they fell. We need to take heed. So let's read verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, how can we neglect salvation? This word neglect is, I forget the Greek word, but you can find it in Matthew 22. Remember when the king sent out the servants, go tell everyone who I invited to my son's banquet to come. It's time to party. The celebration is here. He's getting married. Okay, it's all a picture, of course, of Christ and his church. Tell them to come. And one after another, as the servants went to them, it's party time. The son is getting married. They neglected the invitation. They rejected it. Oh, no, I'm too busy doing this. I'm too busy. And they never came. That's the idea. This neglect is being careless of it or not even caring. That you are invited. That's that neglect, okay? Also, it's used when Paul writes to Timothy and says, don't neglect the gift that you have been given. So it's neglect is means don't cherish what you have. So how can you and I not cherish our salvation? It was interesting because when Andrew was singing that song, you save me, I don't remember the rest of the words, but it was a good song. Oh, there it is. Christine, you're good. You save me, you save me, and I won't ever leave your love. I mean, what a great song, but It's that cherishing that you are saved. You know, and you're not just saved for heaven someday, right? I mean, we have a future in heaven. I mean, isn't that awesome? Can you say amen to that? Amen. We are destined for heaven. We can't destroy that. It's already set up for us. You know, behold, our house is being made right now, or is made, and he's preparing a place for us, right? And he's preparing us for the place, right? So, you know, that's destiny. But, you know, we were saved for here and now too, right? In other words, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, he didn't merely save them from Egypt, so that they would no longer be in bondage in Egypt. He saved them to bring them to the promised land, right? And in the same way, the Lord has saved us to bring us to that promised life, no longer in bondage to our mood swings, to our emotions, or our cravings, or our lust, or our sins. He set us free. Man, we are heading into the promised life. Amen. And so that's where he's bringing us to. So he saved us, and we don't want to take that salvation for granted and always look just to heaven. Now, heaven's great, but I want to live it now too, don't you? I want to live that salvation life here and now on earth as it is in heaven, right? And so that's the idea. So I was thinking, how can we neglect salvation? And this verse in Philippians came to me when Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And he said, Philippians 2, 12, 13, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now I hear the brakes screeching. Wait a minute. Work out? Like, I have to work for my salvation? Like, is that what this is about? No, I know you know better than that, right? But you see those words, and it would appear almost like I'm working for something. I got to work hard to make sure I'm saved, right? But he's not saying that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what I see this as? Fear of missing out. I really do. Like I don't want to miss a thing. There's even a song that sings that. I don't want to miss what God wants to do in my life. Like, it makes me afraid to miss out on what he's about to do in my life. Do you feel that way too? Like, God is going to do something. I don't want to waste my time somewhere else if he's opening a door to something much more significant for my eternity, you know? And so that's the idea. Don't miss out. But watch what he says. For it is God who works in you. He's doing all the work. He's doing all the heavy lifting. He's doing everything, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Isn't that interesting? So he causes you to want to do it, and he gives you the ability to do it. It sounds like he's doing everything to me, doesn't it? He's doing everything, right? He causes you to desire it, and then he gives you the empowerment to do it. So it's not a working for salvation. It's really like a working from salvation, if that even makes sense. But it's desiring. I love what David said in Psalm 37 when he says, delight yourself in the Lord and I will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Like, the more you spend time with God, he actually changes what you desire. I know all of you have experienced that, haven't you? When you look back and you think about what I used to find joy and happiness in, and it's so sick now. You know, and every time I start to think about it, it's like, oh man, like that is like that brings back bad memories to think that I actually enjoy that stuff, because he is transforming you. He is giving you the desires that you're meant to desire. Isn't that beautiful? He's changing you. The Lord has done that in my life and Jill's life so much that he's just changed us so radically, you know, in many ways. And he's doing the same thing in you. He's changing what you actually desire. So to neglect your salvation is to say, you know what? I want to do what I want to do, and I don't necessarily trust what he has me to do is any better than this. I want to stick with what I have. We're making a big mistake. And it's not for salvation's sake. In other words, it's not whether or not you're getting into heaven. It's living out your predestined life. You know, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared in advance for us to walk in. So there's things that God says, man, I can't wait till Ben does this. He's going to love doing this. He's just going to, when he actually lands that plane in the bay and picks up those missionaries and delivers them where they're meant to go, he's just going to, I'm speaking prophecy right now, I hope you don't mind. But he's just going to be like, wow, you know, like, Lord, I can't believe you have always had this plan for me, you know? And that's all of us. You know, you are his workmanship, and he's planned things before you were ever in your mother's womb, so that when you walk in them, you're like, wow, so this is what it's like. This is awesome to live that life, live something that was pre-planned for you to do, predestined. It's beautiful. So that's the idea. Don't neglect the salvation, because God is always leading you to somewhere better. He works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose, like we were singing this morning, right? It's wonderful. So let's read on in I just want to mention something in verse 4. Verse 3, sorry. How shall we escape? And then he says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And I just want to mention, this is one of those verses in Hebrews why people do not think Paul actually wrote this book. Because whenever Paul talks about the Lord, he receives a special teaching from Jesus Christ. Not only after he rose from the dead, but after he ascended to heaven. And there's four occasions that he writes about this, that he had like firsthand knowledge. In fact, he writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:8. He said that I was the last that Jesus ever spoke to. It was me, you know, because Jesus already was ascended to heaven, but he called me up to the third heavens. And he spoke to me there. In fact, he writes in Galatians, he said that, you know, when I first got saved and converted in Damascus, I didn't run to Jerusalem and start to get taught by Peter. No, the Lord taught me directly while I was in Arabia and back in Damascus. In fact, you know, Paul never met Peter for 3 years after he got saved. He never even met him yet. He was taught by Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that amazing? So when Paul writes, he writes as a firsthand witness of Jesus Christ. So here we see he's writing, the author here is writing about people who actually did hear Jesus. I just wanted to mention that. But anyway, I hope I didn't bore you with that little tidbit. But let's move on to verse 4. God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So let's start off by talking about signs and wonders, since that's the first thing listed. Signs and wonders. So what are signs and wonders? We read them a lot in the Bible. First of all, signs are prevalent. It's semion. 77 times you can read the word semion, which means a sign, okay? And it's just what you think it is. It's a person or a thing, and it's supposed to signal you on something that's happening, okay? So it's a sign, okay? In fact, the Lord said, these signs will follow those who believe, all these miracles, right? So it's a sign, okay? Just like any sign we read, it's telling us something. Well, the Lord is always giving us signs. I think a lot of times we miss them. A lot of times we blow right by them. I miss that sign. I got to get off at the next exit, you know? He'll reroute us, but we miss signs sometimes. And they're prevalent. But wonders, not so much teros. Wonders, it's only mentioned 16 times in the Bible. It's a form of miracle, but it's not really about the miracle itself. Because wonders always carry with it a sign. Did you realize that? Every time you see the word wonder, It always has a sign with it. It always carries a sign. So it's something that happens that's illogical, that isn't, it's not of the norm. It's something that is peculiar. It doesn't make sense necessarily. It might be a bit of a miracle. And yet it's telling us something else. It's more about what it's telling us than the actual thing that happened. Does that make sense? So for instance, well, let me tell you a little bit more. Signs and wonders, 16 times you'll find them in the New Testament. The first 12 times, it's great. It's signs and wonders are pointing to truth, okay? It's telling you that this is happening to verify or to bear witness to what the word says. Three other times, signs and wonders are spoken of in a negative sense because they're a sign from the devil. So the Antichrist, false teachers, false witnesses, you know, those types of things, these are signs and wonders. And the word says that in the last days, these signs and wonders will be performed that if possible, even to deceive the elect, okay? Now it does say if possible. Now I believe if we know the word of God, we're not gonna be deceived by a false sign and wonder, okay? Because we know what the word says, because typically the enemy messes up because he knows scripture, but he bends it, he twists it, because there's always a lie somewhere in it, you know? And so we can realize this is not of God. But the last time it's kind of a slight rebuke of a sign and wonder. He goes, unless you people see signs and wonders, you're not gonna believe. Well, in a sense, God has designed that because he wants to demonstrate that his word has power, okay? And that he gives signs and wonders to prove his word is true. Now, sometimes signs and wonders can be life-altering, like really changing things dramatically, okay? And like for an example, in this type of thing with a sign and wonder that is significant, that is life-altering, would be a situation where, let's say, when the four men were carrying the paralytic, remember that? And they removed the tile of the roof, and they lowered him in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw the guy, and you remember what he said? He didn't say, get up and walk. He said, your sins are forgiven. And then, of course, people were bent out of shape. How could he say that's blasphemous? Only God can forgive sins. And remember what Jesus said? So that you know that the Son of Man can forgive sins. I said this first, I'm paraphrasing. In other words, the greater thing is that this man's sins are forgiven, not that he's about to walk. The sins being forgiven is the greatest miracle of all. But then Jesus said, get up and walk. So you see, the wonder was this paralyzed, lame man standing up and walking. That was a wonder. But the sign was to something greater than that. The sign was pointing to the fact that Jesus forgives sins. Does that make sense? So the wonder might be a paralytic walking, but the sign is telling us that he forgives sins. And there's several of these. Another one would be an example of Lazarus. Remember when Lazarus, he was told Lazarus was sick, and then the Lord perceived that he actually already died. And then he says to his disciples, we have to go back to Bethany where Lazarus is so I can raise him from the dead. And they all go. And as he gets there, Mary and Martha are, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And, you know, they're like, you know, and he's like, Martha, Martha, you know. Lazarus will rise from the dead. Well, I know, Lord, someday he'll rise from the dead, but like, that's in the last days. He goes, no, 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 no. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die, will have eternal life. And with that, he said, Lazarus, come out. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, the wonder was that Lazarus was risen from the dead. But the sign was to something far greater than Lazarus, wasn't it? It was pointing to the fact that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we live forever. Eternal life. That's the sign. Lazarus being raised from the dead. Yeah, that's great. And if I was Lazarus, I sure would be happy about that, right? And his sisters. But it was something greater than that. It was that Jesus Christ provides eternal life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, isn't that amazing? Like, so that the wonder is something that could be life-altering, but it's even more than that. It's pointing to something far greater than that. Amen? How many examples are there in our day when people's lives are altered by God's wonder, and yet it points to something so far greater? I look there, back there in the corner, Jerry Dover being healed of 5 cancers. Okay. Amen. And he knew the moment that he was healed. Amazing. And yet, was it only about healing you from cancer? No, it was about way more than that. Remember the treasure box? And say, you know, there's many more treasures in here. There's much more I'm going to do with Jerry Dover's life than stop here. It's not just about healing you of cancer. It's about you transforming other people's lives. Some that are even going through the same thing that you went through, right? The sign is far greater even than the wonder. So that's the idea. Signs and wonders are always carrying a sign pointing to something even greater than what just happened, you know? And the Lord does that again and again in these life-altering things. I had another one I wanted to give an example of, but I forget what it was. But he does these things all the time, that he cleanses someone from addiction so that they can go and start a recovery ministry. You know, it's like, it's not just about them no longer being addicted to drugs. It's something far greater than that. It's about them ministering and demonstrating the love of Christ to other people who are going through the same thing. It's amazing. My son-in-law was severely injured playing college football in a D1 school. He had really had a trajectory for some great things in his athletic career, and he was severely injured in his knee and was wheelchair bound for at least 6 months, you know? And I mean, just imagine, you know, the devastation. You think you're gonna be a pro athlete someday, and now you're in a wheelchair, you know? But the Lord not only healed his leg, okay, but he's not going to be a professional athlete, but he's done so many more things through him because of what he went through to help people who are going through depression, circumstantial depression as a result of severe disappointment in life. Like, I thought this was going to happen, and this happened. How can this be a good thing? Well, God works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. The Lord, the wonder was, yes, Tevin's knee was eventually healed, but it wasn't even just about his knee being healed. It's about how is the Lord going to use Tevin to transform other people's lives, right? So wonder always carries with it a sign to point to something even far greater than what's happening. And he does that again and again. It's so amazing to hear people who go through situations and realize when they come out the other side how amazing that this actually happened. You can rejoice in bad things because you know God is going to do something even greater through them. But sometimes signs and wonders aren't so life-altering. They're little things. I think that's really where we live most of the time. In the little things. God planting little seeds of little things, okay? Let's take the first miracle of Jesus. Do you remember what it was? I know you do. At a wedding, turning water into wine. You know, it's when you think about that, it really, Jesus is going to raise the dead, like we just talked about with Lazarus. He's going to cleanse the lepers. He's going to give blind eyes sight. He's going to, you know, make the lame walk, you name it. He's going to, just miracle after miracle after miracle. Why would you start with turning water into wine? Seems like such an incidental thing. Like, will anyone die if they don't have more wine at a wedding? Probably not. They might even live a couple extra years. I don't know. But but like, it doesn't seem like a significant thing. And yet, the Lord chose that miracle to do first. And you know, the longer I contemplated that, I realized, look, Jesus came back for his bride, right? The whole picture throughout Scripture, starting with Adam and Eve, is God wanting a relationship with man, and it is portrayed through a marriage. Marriage is a sacred covenant to God. Why wouldn't he consecrate a wedding with the very first miracle? Because he wants to demonstrate this marriage is so significant to me, but it's about more than just husband and wife. It's about Jesus Christ and his bride. In fact, even Israel is called Yahweh's bride, and we are called the bride of Christ. It's all a picture. So the miracle wasn't about having more wine. Okay, yeah, that was a neat wonder, but the sign was pointing to something far greater than that, that we are the bride of Christ, you know? And don't you think we live most of the time in these little things? Like, wow, I wonder why God did that. I love Jill has these little things. She's getting a little nervous. What's he about to say? But the Lord continues to show her hearts all over the place. And it really is miraculous, because we'll be walking along the beach and suddenly she'll say, look at this, and she'll pick up this shell shaped like a heart. And I'm like, I never saw a shell shaped like that. Wherever she goes, the Lord's always giving her little hearts, and she's, that's God telling me he loves me. And I think that's beautiful. Why don't I get some hearts? No, I'm just kidding. But like, that's not my thing with God. My thing is other things. But like, he's always sending you little signs and wonders that don't make sense to other people. But you know, God's telling you something significant, you know? And it could mean like nothing. It's not a life-changing thing, but it's a sign and wonder to tell you you're on the right track. Just stay with me. I'm bringing you to something even greater. I'm doing wonderful things in your life. You can trust me. Those signs and wonders are sometimes the small things that you don't see any reason he would do them, only to just keep reminding you he's a God of promises. He always knows where you are. He always knows what you're doing. He always cares for you. He's singing over you. He cherishes you, right? I mean, he cares. You know, one sign and wonder, I was thinking about this, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but remember the early church, when they just started experiencing persecution, and it was their first sign of persecution. Like, wow, this is really happening. Like, we're really sharing the gospel about Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, they don't like it. We're about to head into it here, and they realize, Lord, we need boldness. Lord, give us boldness. And they're just praying. And we read in Acts chapter 4 that as they were praying, they said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now think about this. Did God need to shake the house? Did shaking the house accomplish anything except a sign and a wonder? I hear your prayers. I am going to empower you with my Holy Spirit. I am with you. You don't have to worry about them. I have your back. I am surrounding you. We are going to do this thing together. And that's what he does for us. He sends us little signs and wonders. And perhaps he's even using you to bring signs and wonders to others, because signs and wonders are done through the hands of the saints, you know? And it was so awesome recently a young man. You know, he'd been pursuing, sometimes I have to be careful how the script I get. But anyway, he'd been pursuing a career that probably wasn't meant for him, you know. And I never tried to talk someone out of a career path, but it's just like, this doesn't seem right to me, you know. You know, why don't you try this, okay? And I encouraged him to try a trade, right? And he had like, well, I don't know anything about it. Why would I want to do that? Like, because, you know, it's a make a good living. You can raise a family. You know, it's a good thing. Why not give it a try, you know? So I reached out to a friend of mine who was in this trade. And I said, listen, you know, would you consider taking this guy on? He doesn't know anything about any of it, but maybe you can train him. I'll give it a try, you know? And so almost a year later, he's loving it. I mean, he loves working with his hands. He loves this trade of his, and yet he never even contemplated it before, and he was chasing after a dream that was, I could see it. Just give that up. That's not you. Stop, you know? But in a sense, perhaps the Lord planted me in that situation to be that messenger, that sign and wonder, to direct him away from what he was pursuing. And now he's thriving. He loves it, you know? He's using you and me in that capacity to bring signs and wonders even into other people's lives. Now, you know, we can't always give our opinions on everything, but sometimes we can shed some light on things that perhaps someone is blinded to, you know? And so this is the idea of signs and wonders. And I just wonder, what sign and wonder is the Lord trying to show you? Like, perhaps there's something that you've been seeing again and again and saying, Lord, I'm not ready for that yet. No, I'm not ready. And he just keeps saying, listen, you can see what I keep doing in your life for a purpose. You know, the Lord's done so many of these little things in my life as a sign and a wonder, and it was for something so much better than I ever thought would be planned for my own life. You know, I never thought I'd be up here preaching the word. I really didn't. This was never like a game plan for me, you know, it never even appealed to me. I'm just being honest. Don't tell anybody. But really, it wasn't like I crave for this, you know, but the Lord gently, through various things that would take too much time to explain, in very small little ways, even teaching like, you know, fifth and sixth graders a Bible lesson, saying, you know, I kind of like this. Like, you know, I can't make a living doing this, but I kind of like it, you know? And then the Lord just saying, all right, now I'm going to move you over to here. And I'm going to move you over to here. And as I just kept going, I'm saying, you know, he's really changing my desires. I enjoy this. I realize that the Lord is leading me to somewhere I never fathomed going before because of these little signs and wonders. Like, why are people inviting me to do this? You know, I don't belong here. Well, I guess I do, because the Lord is inviting us into things that he wants us to do for his good pleasure. Amen. As the worship team comes up, we're going to stop with signs and wonders. Next week, we'll talk about miracles and gifts. And I think gifts of the Spirit really are very significant for us to grasp and for us to move in. You know, we are a charismatic church. We're not a cessationist church. And that means we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And that means we are anointed to do things on behalf of God. Like, when he was about to ascend to heaven, he said, wait until you are endued with power from on high. Miracles, right? And that's still for today. We are anointed to do the things that Christ would do if he were still walking on this earth, because he is. He's walking in you. He's wearing you. Don, you're Christ's suit today, okay? He has you on today. He has us on today. He's in us, and he's wearing us. to demonstrate his glory. And signs and wonders are all part of that, to experience, to see, Lord, what are you guiding me to? You know, these wonders, is it really just about the fact that my lungs are better? I'm very grateful for that. Let me tell you, praise the Lord for prednisone. You know, I'm not ashamed to say, I am grateful for modern medicine. But is it really just about me being able to breathe better? No. It's about everything else he's going to do. It's about everything else he's going to do in you. Because you are significant to him. Because he's significant in you. Amen. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation. We walk in the newness of life. That means like the enemy can have no hold over us unless we let him. And that's who we are. Amen. So let's stand up. If any of you would like some prayer after the service, please come up front because we'd love to pray for you. And perhaps there's some things that, some thinking, some blindness that you would like to just shed, you know? Perhaps the Lord will actually remove the scales from your eyes so that you could perceive signs and wonders that are happening all around you that the Lord wants you to realize so that you could step in all of his glory that he has for you and himself. So Father God, we thank you, Lord, for being here today, Lord. We thank you for this family, Lord. And we thank you for the amazing things that you have predestined us to do both down here and beyond. So, Lord, may we live it out now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Praise God.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss his word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.